Last time on Idle Fantasy.
But your old boss, Zebish,
he looks a little bit like he's been in the wars.
If you want out of here, wait for my signal and then come.
Give me this potion. I want to look. She pulls back the curtain and you see a shabby human man, burn scorch marks all over his body.
My little Federic, it is time for a new treatment.
Stab her in the back.
It's time for me to act. I'm going to try and stab her. Something she can recover from.
She drops the corona. Something behind you has just appeared. Kind of circular, and it's undulating at the top.
Oh, crap.
And you can hear... Big Boys Big Adventure on the other side of town.
Fabulous break-in, oh, yeah. Boys.
Yeah,
let's go rob an armory.
What you thought was a glinting kind of spearhead is, in fact, this eagle's head with these two piercing blue eyes.
Okay, yeah, I grab it, I give it to Glitch. Like, it's a magic staff.
Scrolls out, and I'm doing this sort of... It's kind of like a Morris dance, I imagine.
Yeah.
This shimmery sphere, and as it passes over you, you feel your ears completely deafened.
I've got a shield version of Thor's hammer, and it's...
Or cap shield.
And it's... Oh, cap shield. Yeah.
We're loading a cannon, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, doing it.
Fuse ticks down. And then
just look at each other.
And you feel this vibration in the floor as the cannon fires. Suddenly there is hell as the entire stone room you're in shakes.
God, I wonder what that was.
I am so proud of us.
Friday, it means one thing. It's the Idle Fantasy Podcast, and it's back with you today, everybody.
Yeah, whoop. Boy.
Paddy's cracking open the cans.
Yeah. It's the lads are on the drinks.
It's true. We very rarely have a drink when we do this. But
yes, because that's when I start to get fun.
Oh, no. Paddy's got all lascivious
again. Mate, we fired a cannon at a wall. I'm drinking.
Paddy Jervis, cannon technician over there.
Yep.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
What can you tell us about cannons? What hot cannon tips?
Oh, wadding, powder. Balls. They go bang. They're on ships. Sometimes they're not. I'm all over them. I'm fucking great cannon boy.
Absolutely. Deputy cannon boy. I'm sorry, you're deputy.
Why am I deputy cannon boy?
Well, Paz did the shooting, didn't he?
I fired the cannon.
Did you?
Yeah, like cool boy.
Oh, I can't remember. You did do that.
You can get it done. Maybe you guys are going to have a little tussle with the cannon.
I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like we've opened a can of worms.
Yeah, shit's hit the fan this time.
That can of worms in my face.
Yeah, yeah, it's very much like...
Liam.
It's a can of worms that we've very much, just chucked at you.
Mm. Yep.
And then followed that up with another can of worms.
I would like to point out, this feels like it's been a bit of a solo heist at this point.
What are you talking about? I've fucking robbed a shield. Like,
we're getting you out of that.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, like...
What did you come in for?
That's irrelevant, okay? We've heisted very, very well.
Yeah.
It's just like we've done a heist that we weren't necessarily brought up here to do.
Yeah.
Liam Welterton is the responsible heister in the room.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm the one ticking off our main objectives while you're going around on your bonus side quests.
Yeah, we're getting all the XP, man. Zach and I are level 8 now.
Yeah. Actually, this is a weird throwback to playing WoW with like two renegades, and you're like, guys, I'm doing the quest for you. What do you do? It's like, oh, I climb to the top of the mountain and I'll blow up a cow. It's great.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, like, in our defense, like, we all had the opportunity to do this together,
yes.
And you immediately sacked us off because you were like, I've got an in.
So yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Yeah, so
you left us on our own with a big gun.
Yeah,
that was like,
and a whole fort to just explore because we couldn't help with what you were doing.
I'm happy to shoulder that blame.
The responsible adult did leave the children unattended
with explosives,
with acid,
with all these finely balanced ideas in mind. Let's cut straight back into it.
Let's do it.
I
Okay, so over to the Cannon duo.
Yeah.
Cannon boys. You've just launched a cannonball into the far northeast guard tower, which lies next to the torture chamber and also near the captain's quarters. And as you see this ball sail over, you still can't hear anything, even as it crunches into the lower. It's a wooden tower on big wooden supports with kind of stonework further up. And it sails through and takes out the nearest two legs of this tower, and it slowly crumbles, and you see the two guardsmen atop it just disappear into a cloud of wood and splinters and dust.
Yeah.
And as that happens, it's like you've pushed a big button marked panic, because you see two figures who Wattic would recognize come out of the guards' quarters like, what the fuck is going on? Immediately look up, the grizzled human man.
I duck. There's no way they would know it would be a cannon. It could just be a tower fell down. They didn't hear the cannon go off.
I feel like we're holding hands on top of the armory watching this happen. Like,
you see him kind of adjust, put on this wide-brimmed hat and adjust it as he kind of looks up and as if to say, well, shit. And and Crux next to him, the dragonborn, is just kind of arms folded, just like, what the... as well. Is that it?
That's an interesting point, actually. I do have a question. Like genuinely, for them, these people who are outside of the sphere of silence that didn't know a cannon was fired, are they literally just for them, they're like, our tower fell down.
Yeah.
So. Yes.
Sick.
So we're loading the cannon.
I've loaded it again.
Loaded that cannon.
Just one quick thing.
No. No time. God,
no, yeah, no time at all. No.
Point
don't
information
ruin this.
Walton.
Why would? Don't sure. ruin this just because you're not involved.
Okay. Okay.
No, what go on. What, yeah, go on.
Well, just I can't remember if cannons like smoke or not after they've been fired.
Oh, there's a bit of smoke, but people.
Yeah, but that's still a bit of a leap.
Right, it's
night
time, isn't it? It's night time.
It's still a leap that they would just that they would assume the cannon was fired without hearing a cannon.
That's there true. Is. As yet, no look of recognition from anyone. You see a couple of the patrols as well, you know, lit by torches with dogs on chains. They start heading over there at speed. You see the captains kind of trying to organise people. They're bringing in a few more guards, but everyone's attention is focused.
Can I make a perception check, actually, from my vantage point? Can I try and see if the guards that were manning the door for the armoury have gone over there?
Yeah, you can't get eyes on them because you're kind of on the overhang and they're literally like immediately below you.
No, as in like, I want to see when people are congregating.
That's what I'm saying. You can see if they've moved.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Have a go, mate. Have a go.
What's my perception?
Plus 100.
Pretty shit.
No.
No, I think it's the only one of my ones that's not minus something. Of course. Strength. all right. That was a 16.
Yeah.
Okay. You're pretty confident that they haven't moved from their spot.
They haven't moved.
You can't see them running anywhere. You haven't seen them move anywhere.
Cool. All right. Well, I mean, that was just a little side note. Let's load that cannon.
Yeah, we're loading it. Right?
Straight up,
like, sure, man.
Again.
Let's load the cannon again. Also, I mean, to sow more seeds of chaos.
Oh yeah.
I'm just gonna pop my head out of the old silence sphere.
Nope.
And I'm gonna give Post Goose the sound the alarm.
Telepathic. Does not
Sweet.
Require
yeah.
No, too late. You said it.
Telepathic.
I've popped
if you pop out of our sphere of silence and just start shouting fire.
I'm not shouting, I'm whispering.
Well, hang on one second. How on earth are you going to know where the edge of the sphere of silence is? It's invisible.
It's like,
we can kind of see it.
It was like a shimmery. Sort of shimmery.
Well, everyone will
magic.
See it. Then everyone would be like, the tower's fallen down and there's a big shimmery thing.
Let's put it this way. You can, it's not perceptive. It was just, that was it expanding.
Yeah,
if you really concentrate, you can see the edge of it. But I think probably this manifest glitch is you like edging along, like,
Post Goose. And then suddenly the signal
You suddenly
comes
break, like your head breaching water after you've been underwater. You suddenly pop it out into the night air and you can hear exactly the sound of chaos. You can hear people shouting. You can hear Crooks and Jarnell barking orders at guardsmen. You can just hear the sounds of like activity, and you're gonna.
Post
now you can hear.
Sound the alarm.
You hear in your mind, Master, the alarm? What do you want me to do? Is it fire time?
Oh, we agreed that was the code word for fire time.
Ah, yes. Sorry. I've been having wonderful chat to this little goblin. Mm. She's a delight.
Oh, isn't she? Make sure she stays safe, because shit's about to get fucking real.
I think I know what to do.
Also, you had that conversation
just
like
the whole thing explodes. Yeah. Mushroom cloud with this little demon on top.
And your connection drops with Post Goose and
Cool.
All right. Given his command. Sweet.
All right.
What do you want to fire at? Because I'm kind of thinking like this is a rogue, but. Should we try and... We've done one insta-kill recently. Should we try and insta-kill Jarnell and Crooks?
Well, I guess whilst we're loading it, let's see what happens and like if there's an obvious place to fire at as shit is going on. I mean, I think it's either going to be, you know, the main gate, fucking blast it open. Like, why the fuck not?
So not the crowd of people.
Or, no, because then a cannonball's going to come into a crowd of people and then we're going to have all these people turn and look at
be
us.
Like, that was a
I
cannon.
Think we just start making these...
We could bolt. Like, we could just, like, set it up to fire at them and then just bolt.
Yeah, because we're really reliable and good at things. No.
We just kill the cat. We just kill the tower.
I don't think we need to do more death. I think we need to sow more chaos.
Oh yeah, that's
so. I say either at the captain's quarters, and so we're making more holes in the cells. We might be releasing prisoners, or we're shooting them to the side of the thing. We could just be making more shit happen, or we bust open the gates,
or we could bust open the wall that's like Hess is in as well.
Yeah, that's right by the captain's quarters.
Right, cool.
I think Hess can handle herself. I mean, I trust Hess enough that she's got lockpicks and like the sharpest brain out of all of us.
So yeah, Loz, what do we need to do to do this cannon?
Same as before. Whoever wants to be on loading duty, make a dex roll.
Do you want
to
fire this one? No.
There's a system. I should be doing dexterity saving throws or anything related to dexterity.
So roll to load first.
Roll to load. That's a 2.
Fuck.
Plus 2, it's a 4.
Yeah, it would have genuinely been a 0 if I had done it, so...
Okay,
I've accidentally loaded myself into the cannon.
you load the cannon. Now, there's no detail on that yet. Now, roll to fire it.
Wait. Oh.
You don't know, you're not going to have a grasp.
Yeah,
I know,
we don't know.
That's a 21.
That's a 21 to hit, okay.
Very accurate, very poorly...
Yeah, it's like for some reason the cannonball just shatters into a million pieces of shrapnel. Like
you're aiming it at?
Oh yeah, what are we aiming at?
That's what I was asking you.
The
I'm waiting for you to point. I think that I'm on it at this
captain's
point.
Quarters, like wherever the chaos is.
Okay.
Just sow more chaos.
Add
all right.
To the chaos.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we don't hit Affle Raffle, Botang or Hess.
Yeah, but if we hit anyone else, I'm fine with it. Like,
all right, sweet.
You set the cannon alight, the fuse ticks down, and it spurts out another cannonball, except from some quirk of how you loaded it, it, as Zach suggests, in pretty good... I don't know, I'm no expert on cannons, but I'm pretty sure if you get this wrong, this is probably what happens. It kind of comes out in a colossal... There's a lump of material. Rather than a nice, neat cannonball, there's like a... like this shower of sparks and fire.
My God.
And a load of material just streaks towards the captain's quarters. Some of it lands on the people in the way.
All right, so we did kill everyone.
And you see at least a couple of bodies go down as they take bits of this shrapnel.
Oh my gosh.
And then this wooden building that makes the captain's quarters and the garden, the private garden around.
Oh yeah,
it,
I really want to check that out.
Just pick up in flames.
Sick.
And holes in everything, and again this crowd who have formed are panicking. But
what about the kitchen?
You also notice several heads swing up to look
ducked.
At the guard
straight up ducked. Just
that's
lying,
fine.
Lying
and they
the
see
belly.
And they see a cannon smoking, and as you two realise, as you're ducking and looking at the cannon, you see that the end of this thing is completely warped and mangled, having been kind of, you know, all this stuff having spurted out of it and ruined the nozzle.
The cannon nozzle.
The cannon nozzle. The next thing you see is a small wisp of smoke come out of the dining hall.
Sick.
And the kitchen quarters. And the last thing you see...
Uh-oh.
Is from your, as you're crouched down, you're peering over, you see from the stairs, that you know there are the stairs leading up to the processing office.
Yeah.
You see a mass of shadowy figures suddenly burst out of there and run down the stairs into the darkness.
Oh, sweet. We've released the fucking prisoners.
Have we?
Who knows?
I think we've broken up the holding cell. I think all those guys in there have come out.
Meanwhile.
I hope so. I mean, we need an exit strategy, actually, you and I.
Yes, but we didn't think of that, Zach.
Sure.
Hey, you got the time now, because we're going to flash over to Liam.
All right, here we go.
How's it going, mate?
Standing over... No, where are we at? You've just helped Fed out of his bindings. He's standing up, kind of really like almost like hands on it, like almost like someone, like an older man has just run a very long way and he's doing the, all right, here we go. Oh, fucking hell. Oh, well, thanks. Thanks, pal. That's all I can say. What's the plan?
Get out of here.
Yes.
Now.
Yes. All right. First of all, though, mate, I am going to need my staff. Have you got it?
No. Why would I have your staff?
Because it's all I fucking need, mate. Is that, who sent you? Someone must know, you must know who I am. Someone must have sent you. Was it one of the Duke's lads, is it?
Aye. Aye.
Good stuff. Right. Well, he will need that staff. So we've got to get it before I'm going any fucking where.
All right. Well, let's... Well, we'll look for it on our way out.
Oh, right, okay. I mean, I need it, so I guess I have to trust you. Who's this? Who's Kalman?
This is Zebik. No, it's not. Oh, it's Zebish. That doesn't matter. Look, this building's coming down. Can we please get out of here?
make a perception check as well.
All right.
I think you made one of these last time and you missed this, but you got another opportunity.
Okay. Oh, that's a 19.
All right. So... okay. 19's good enough to notice the shadow behind you, the giggling shadow, if you recall this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're suddenly drawn out of your reverie, having saved Fed, and you turn and look, and you see a floating, horrible green... It looks like a ball sack, I'm going to be honest. Like a green ball sack with a massive eye, with a crossed pupil, a little horrible mouth filled with fangs, and four twitching stalks, each of which has a separate eyeball on the end. And you turn just in time to see this thing go... Two of his little eye stalks become rigid, and then... clock down, one locked on you, one locked on Zebish at the far end of the corridor. One of them shoots out a ray of cold energy. Can you make a dex saving throw with advantage because you picked up on this happening?
These are nasty.
Oh, okay,
nasty
so that's a 15 plus 5.
Okay, you nimbly, as a this beam of cold energy shoots out directly at where you were. You nimbly roll out of the way. Fed goes, fucking hell, you didn't get rid of that little bastard yet. Come on, man. And meanwhile, the other end of the corridor, Zebish is targeted by a similar ray of kind of like bright lights and colours. It seems to kind of... it's almost like a kind of light being cast through a prism down the other end of the room.
Okay.
He, however, makes an attempt. You see him take this beam full force to his kind of head and go, oh, and you see him strain with energy. And then as the beam cuts off, he is flung backwards 30 feet along the length of the room, back through the door at the other end, and he collapses.
Through the door?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big beam.
Fucking hell.
We're going to have to roll up some initiative, Liam.
Oh my god. So that is... that's 12 plus 3,
15. Excellent.
Is this like a big... Is this guy going to be a really fucking difficult thing
to kill?
So
wait a second. I don't know whether or not... my character knows what this is. But this is what... Like, I can't remember their names, but is this one of those little things that's like the nightmare of a beholder?
So this is... give me a quick... What do you reckon... If Taryn had heard this thing, which she probably has... give me a history check.
Yeah, all right.
With Vortex stats.
Okay.
See how much information.
That's a 10.
A 10.
Straight up and down.
But straight up with that, you recognize this as something like a beholder, but it's tiny.
Yeah.
It's smaller, it has fewer eye stalks, and you know the eye stalks are the source of these beams it casts, which do various horrible things to people.
Yeah.
It is definitely not a full-blown beholder. In fact, Taryn is almost certainly slaying a few of those.
Like a travel beholder.
Like a pocket beholder. I will tell you out of character, it's called a gazer.
Gazer, that's what they're called,
it's a little beastie. And it is locked into combat with you, and it sees its master crumpled on the floor, and it means business.
Yeah.
First, you are first in the order, though.
Okay.
What would you like to do?
I am going to go for the eyes, boo. Go for the eyes. I'm going to try and stab at its... well, I didn't like the look of its stalk that went for Zebish, so I'm going to try and stab at that one. So I guess I'll go for a dagger blow again. So that's a 17.
Against AC, that'll definitely hit.
Okay.
I like to think you're kind of jumping up to hit this thing.
Yeah, I was thinking.
And that is a 5.
Nailed it.
5 points of damage it is. You don't quite stick it in the eye, but you probably get it just under, and it sends a little spurt of black ichor pouring out of this creature's face. He starts laughing again.
This is a horrible little...
Yeah, horrible little thing.
Zebish, out of action, presumably.
He is for now, and it's also not his turn. The first
Zeb's time... dead, baby.
No!
Drop my dice. That's how good it was.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Cheers.
All week, lads.
Yeah.
The next thing that happens is the lump at your floor, the kind of the that's collapsed tiefling, makes a you hear and a kind of stream of another language. You don't speak abyssal, do you?
I do not.
It sounds like kind of rumbling and there's loads of spitting and...
Glitch does, if you want to, like, text him or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Pop text. Drop him a WhatsApp memo. Yeah. Morian drags herself to her feet and saying, she realises what's going on. She puts her hand to her side. What do you do? Like, looks at you for a bit of explanation.
Oh god!
Stab her in the front,
and then she clocks what's going on. Sees and she looks at her little pet floating with this stuff all down. Oh no! And looks and she wheels upon you, and
see if you can get Pendlefluff on board.
Oh yeah, should I do that in the middle of having to fight two fucking things?
Get him to sing you a song
while the Cannon Brothers just kind of. Fucking blast the shit out of everything around me.
Cannon Brothers.
I think we've contributed fairly well overall.
I think we could take the rest of the day off.
I intend to. I'm going to lean back like Liam does.
Yes, the first episode you've had to sit upright, you realise what pressure it is.
I know, yeah. I'm never sitting up again.
Yeah.
She racked with kind of pain and her face dragging into this like war mask. She's just fucking lost and not saying anything sensible. Points a finger at you and a little bolt of lightning starts kind of gathering in her hand and she unleashes it at you, point blank range. She's going to cast a spell called Witch Bolt at you, which is going to be a 18 against your AC.
Okay. That is a hit, yeah.
I was going to be like, yeah, of course it fucking is. Yeah.
And she's going to deal 9 points of lightning damage to you.
Oh.
Okay, well, that is...
bad?
Are you down?
Bad.
No, but I've got 5 hit points left.
Fucking hell.
As you reel from this this damage, you hear... the kind of unmistakable sound of an old man getting up from far away. Oh my bloody Christ! And the form of...
he knows him too.
Yeah. He's a celebrity, man. Zebish pulls himself to his feet and steadies himself, but that's all he's going to be good for the minute. It's over to the gazer. I'm sorry, man, you're up against it at the moment.
Yeah.
Who's going to send another one of his eye bolts. That's going to be another a frosty one coming your way.
All right.
Please make a dex saving roll.
Dex save. That's an 11.
An 11 is good enough. Just. Oh, wow. It's not a very wee beastie. Again, you. This misses you by inches. I think you're just kind of reading from one spell. And it managed just instinctively kick round to the side and miss it. But as this goes on, you hear the sound of impossibly fast footsteps. And you think this can't be... Zebish, can it? Echoing up the corridor.
This is coming.
And literally, like, jump flipping over Zebish into the room, kind of planting off him. In the coolest fucking move you've ever seen, this shadowy figure barrels over, lands, you know, fucking...
like a frog.
Like a frog.
Yeah.
No, like, you know, Marvel superhero style. He fists to the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
landing.
These shadows evaporate off her. And you see Hess is there with these wrapped bindings around her hands. And she steps up and puts her fists up and starts, like, moving around the...
Thank RT. Christ.
And she looks at you, Vatic. And says, bloody hell, you've already got yourself in a bit of a bloody pickle here, haven't you, boys? What happened to a nice clean operation?
It sounds like she's enjoying it, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
to
she's
be
quite
fair,
up for
and
it,
there is
yeah.
a bit of a smile on her face. And she's like, and she's as she's moving around, and she's clearly like been wanting to do this for a while.
And Liam just shanks her, like he's want to do now.
Is that, have you got it? Is that him? And she's pointing to...
That's the one, make sure he stays alive.
All right, Fed, bind me, mate. And she kind of tries to swing him round. Fed, though, has other ideas. And while the tiefling woman's back is turned, is going to try and clock her in the back of the head. It's like, it's something for this. And manages to deal 4 points of unarmed damage. Just by, and they're like, I've had enough.
Old man nails.
And
how's she looking now?
Morian is not looking good. She wasn't looking good already. Her whole side is like covered in blood at this point, having bled out from that nasty wound you gave her.
Yeah.
And that thing seems to send her head spinning a little bit.
Right.
And Fed manages to kind of sidestep around her without her being able to get a cheap shot away.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's back over to you, Vatic.
Okay. I kind of think I've got to take out Morian, so I'm gonna go for
she's gonna like while she's on the floor just stab her.
No, she's up now, she's so.
Yeah, I think what I might try and do though is like clock her with the like the blunt end of my dagger.
You're trying to, it's a non-lethal,
yeah, cold
do.
Cocker.
Oh, come on, just kill her.
I like Morian.
Why?
Because
she's an
lovely.
Evil like hell torturer who has a pet fucking eye that's like a, like trying to kill him.
Yeah, but we've had some great times, haven't we?
Okay, that's a 16.
It absolutely hits.
Right, okay. And that is 4 points of damage.
4 points of damage. Not enough to knock her out, unfortunately. But she is really dazed and really reeling at the moment from
right.
this. Next in the order is...
Oh, no, hang on. Oh. I'm going to use my cunning action.
Yeah.
So I'm presumably in the range of attack for both Morian and...
The gazer, yeah, they're
the gazer.
Right up on you.
So I'm going to disengage.
Wicked. And disengage nice. Means no one can get an attack of opportunity.
Yeah.
A free shot at you.
And I'm going to... I'm basically going to, like, run behind Hess. and...
You get her, mummy.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I'm better when I'm, like... sneak attacking, so I
yeah,
think
yeah,
I need to try and disengage.
Wise, very wise move.
Yeah.
Okay. You easily do that. You kind of, I mean, not that Morian is coming after you particularly quickly, but you skillfully kind of backstep and
yeah. I love that. In my head, you get behind Hess and you're just like behind the bigger, a more aggressive, more violent person, just going, "You what, mate? Yeah, hold me back. Yeah, you what? You want some?"
Hess, meanwhile, like I said, she's got these like these wrist bindings on. She's in these like, you know, the raggedy prisoner-esque outfit you gave her, just all rags. But you see as she steps forward, this little burst of, it's not magic, but there's some kind of inner reserve, and you see it just makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand on end.
Ooh.
And it's not quite, you know, super saiyan, but it's like a very kind of...
Is she like a badass, like, monk kind of thing?
And she barrels in, and it's one of the quickest movements you've ever seen, as she walks up to Morian and puts in a low fist into her belly. And... damage to hand. Wow. So, you know how all your unarmed strikes do just like a d4 and that's it. Hess does +4 in every unarmed strike, and her first one goes straight into Morian's stomach, and she goes, drops her book to the floor and is out for the count.
Yes!
Wow.
Fucking hell.
I'm kind of more on board with Hess now as a character. Now we know that she's some sort of fucking like monk ninja.
We change our mind on her every 3 or 4 minutes.
So. No. Disagree. I thought she was a prick since we met her. It's now that I'm changing my tune.
She then, in the same fluid movement, moves to uppercut the gazer next to her.
Oh, super on board.
But the gazer kind of air shifts out the way like they were playing Smash Bros. And entirely misses it. But then you see her suddenly... You see her tap into that well of energy, and she brings over, as she brings the uppercut up, she brings her other hand back under with another kind of gut punch to this guy, and hits and deals 5 more damage to him. And like in a, like, as you'd imagine, like a, what am I trying to think of? Like a coughing in the Pokemon cartoon starts like flying away.
She
sends this pinata like soaring through the air a little bit, and he reconfigures.
Like a deflating balloon.
Still up and at him. And it's his turn next.
What was the floating magnet in Pokemon? Because that's what I'm imagining, but just kind
Magnemite.
Of more
Magnemite.
Magnemite. Yeah, yeah. I'm imagining that, but just more kind of ball sacky.
Yeah, that's good. I'm thinking coughing, but with one big. Actually, coughing.
I'm thinking Mike from Monsters Inc, but he's floating.
Mike's a bit
Oh, that's yeah. good. Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Put
like
that thing back where she came from.
Watch out, help me.
2 more storks become erect. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing a very good mime in the room. Sorry, you can't see that. One at you, 1 at Hess. For you, sir, Liam, please make a wisdom saving throw. Hess is also going to make a wisdom saving throw.
That's an 11.
You manage to shrug off. You see this one glows a kind of bright purple. And you get flashes of the most horrible memories from your and Votick's life. You see Votick's father. You see a ship upturning in a storm for a second. And you get drawn in for a second, and then you shake it off. And you're free of the spell for a second. Hess, on the other hand, takes the blast of another a fourth ray you've not seen yet, which is just a flash of bright light. And it sends it's kind of, you know, puts spots in front of your eyes for a second. You turn to look at Hess, and she's been caught by it completely unawares. And she staggers around, almost trips over it for a few times. And she has been charmed, not in the traditional sense, but she's been debuffed by this gazer for the second.
Ooh.
But next up is Zebish, who is just going to stalk down the corridor, moving quite slowly. But he comes up and kind of... realising that Fed is important here, comes and helps him out, and it's back to you, Vatic.
Okay.
Fire grenade the thing.
I don't have one.
Got any, just
oh, yeah, you just know how to yeah. do it.
Disappointing. Okay, I think I'm going to... I think I'm going to, like, use one of my daggers, and I think I'm going to, rather than... getting in close quarters, I think I'm going to try and lob it at the little beastie.
2.
So that will be... Oof, that's a 14.
It is enough to hit the little bugger.
Oh, okay. Oh, and that's a 7.
How does this go down?
Oh, sweet.
I mean, I've got no love of monsters. Like, people, I kind of don't like killing if I don't have to. So I want this to... basically pin this thing to the wall.
I think you do. I think you get it right through the pupil, and this guy only had 2 hit points left, and I think the force of this thing is enough just to, and you straight through the eye, back of his head, and he is skewered to the wall, and this black ichor pours out of his eye hole and out of the whole thing, and the last thing you hear is this horrible and a big tongue falls and lolls out, and the gazer is defeated.
Hey!
Well, I've got to get me some XP for that.
It goes on the big ledger of XP, which I'm absolutely keeping numerically accurately.
Cool. Oh, man. Have I got... let me just check. No, I don't. No, I don't have any health, potion of health.
Nah, I've got it, mate.
Yeah. Oh, well. I knew there was one floating around somewhere.
If you just kind of hold out for a little bit, and then I get to take a nap, healing hand, mate. Cure wounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Hess, you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, mate. You gave me that lockpick. I was waiting for the moment, and then a fucking cannon went off.
Right. Brilliant. Well,
I thought that was the moment. Was that not the moment?
I mean, it's ear moment.
thank God. I was getting so bored in there. A bunch of drunkards and little petty thieves. Jesus Christ, I was bored. And that Catwoman. Oh, bore, mate.
Look, we haven't got much time.
I knocked her out, by the way.
Aw, straight back in again. And this is a prick.
And there was a bugbear, man. I'm not going to take any chance with him. He was straight out like a light.
Oh, my God. She's the worst.
But you haven't killed anyone.
No, no, apart from this one. She points to Morian on the floor. I don't know what she's... She looks pretty bad. I didn't stab her.
That was me, admittedly. look, Fed needs a staff. Do you know where they might have kept it?
Staff? Last I picked up... No idea, mate. Armory might keep stuff in there.
It's worth a shot. Let's go.
Give it a go. What about them captains? They might have it as well.
If I don't want to get anywhere near them. Let's check the armory. And if not, we'll go check out their quarters.
If this was a movie, we'd be like cutting to like Paddy at the top of an armory, just kind of swinging a staff.
Yeah, yeah.
Unnecessarily, like
flames.
you're responsible for these two. I will make sure we don't get, well, first, we don't get spotted. And secondly, we don't get any nasty business. And she cracks her knuckles again and says, follow me. And leads you down the corridor. Where are you going to try and make to with Hess?
I think out through processing, seeing as everyone's taken care of there.
Okay. Hess makes for the other door, not the one that Zevish was just knocked through, but the other door, which none of you have come through so far, leading to the other row of cells. And she says, I've not been down here, but I've... Oh, I don't know. Stab in the dark seems to be working all right for you lot, so why not for me too? And she says, just stay close. I've got something I can do to help us out here. And as she pulls open the door, she puts her... hands together and makes a couple of little finger gestures like she's in fucking Naruto or something.
Yeah.
And that same kind of cloak of shadows that was over her, she seems to coalesce again around her, but rather than sticking to her body form, it forms a kind of a pool on the ground, you can see. And as she hoists head further closer towards her, you see that it just completely obscures his features and it's just much harder to discern him. She says, get in here, stay close to me and we'll be all right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. She's just cast a spell called Pass Without Trace.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which is a second level spell, which I think you rogues may be able to get too. So here's a preview.
Oh.
Mm. And as she puts one hand on the door, she says, right, whatever you do, just keep it stum. And as she puts her finger to her lips, you hear, it's not quite as bad as the impact before, but it is definitely somehow closer. Another boom. As some impact is made to a building very near you and you hear the cries of guards even through these stone walls, and a couple of seconds later you hear the unmistakable sound of alarm bells starting to ring.
Yep.
Well, now's as good a time as any to make our exit.
Fucking hell. She pushes open the door and you guys make for the cells. Meanwhile, on top of the keep, Dingus and Dongus.
Yeah, the ping-pong twins.
What are you talking about? Cannon twins, Dingus and Dongus? Like, we have been super effective.
Hey, no, these are all...
Oh, hell yes. Oh, man, I just imagine we're sort of wide-eyed looking at all these fires, the kitchen's going off.
Without hearing anything.
But yeah, with nothing at all. We know that this cannon is fucked now.
Yeah, and like, so, I mean...
Hey, you're welcome to give it a go.
Paddy and I have conferred a little bit. And we've got an escape plan.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay, yeah. So I want to, this broken cannon, I want to use my considerable strength to roll it down the staircase, please.
Roll it down the staircase. Okay, you've got to move it a little way, so you're going to need a check on that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, I want to check.
I think you might need a little bit of help.
I would like a help, too.
What help do you need? Help? Oh, what from you?
Yeah, go on. What's your help going to be?
I'm on the other side of the cannon rolling with you then.
Nice. All right. Okay, well, given that, I reckon the wheels are probably still intact. Even though Glitch is not the strongest boy, I think you're going to get advantage on this.
All right. All right.
It's a thing that's designed to be moved, actually. You
yeah, like, you definitely can roll it.
All right. Just a strength check.
Just to see how quickly I do it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Strength check. Sucks.
What was so you that? Get advantage. That's a six.
Oh, plus three.
But so give another
nine.
Guy. That's an 18. Like, yeah.
Plus three, so 21.
18. The two of you, I mean, we'll be honest.
It gets done.
Teddy.
Guy helps.
Glitch navigates superbly.
Yeah.
You get it round to the top of the stairs, and just one heft is going to send it soaring down.
Yeah, kind of like, I guess, like, if Maybe then what we'll do, back to Paddy was wanting to like, you know, make sure that we do some sort of damage with this. All right, so while it's at the top of the staircase, what I would like to do is get the rope out of my explorer's pack.
No. I'm going to stay by the cannon.
Oh, no. So basically what I'm thinking is, like, so I've only got one rope, unless you've also got rope somehow. I don't know if you would have rope.
No, I doubt he'd have rope.
No? Okay, cool. Yeah, so, and then...
He's got robe.
He's robe. Well, I'm also kind of like, again, I'm backing my strength a little bit here, maybe prematurely, but basically I want to tie off the rope onto, like, one of the turrets or the keep or something, and then, while the cannon's at the top of the staircase, do that so that we're prepped, so that you can just jump on my back, and then we can abseil
down
the
side. Push the cannon
onto
everyone, and then jump off the side.
And then beautiful. Abseil down the side, and then, like, hopefully, like, they'll have seen there's a cannon thing going on, but, like, they won't know which side we're going down.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to get down there and then ideally be a bit sneaky.
As you guys are, yeah, okay, this works for me. So cool. you can tie off the rope, that's no problem. One of the battlements easily. Maybe Glitch is taking care of that, you know, with his dexterous fingers, and you're lining up the cannon ready. And there's still, you guys...
Can't hear anything, actually.
Well, you guys can't hear anything. Well, I guess you're conducting this all through, amazingly, through hand gestures.
Yeah, it's
still
all marine-style hand gestures.
And you get that feeling much like when you come out the swimming pool and your ears slowly drain of water, and you see this shimmery field again retract back to where you are. And the first thing you hear is a... from everywhere around the thing, and you kind of suddenly look at each other.
Super understandable.
And the second thing you hear is barked orders from below, saying something along the lines of,
get a unit up the tower, we'll flush those bastards out,
from somewhere underneath you.
Yeah, baby.
And the third thing you see is two shields bearing these you know, the Veld Guard shields, once again, those red cloaks. You see two of them broach through the door, and they look up at the stairs to you two.
Cool. All right.
Well, let's push this fucking cannon.
Cannon gets pushed. We then jump off the side of the building.
Okay. So, you, Teddy, give me a strength check just to see, give me some indication of...
Is this for the push or whether I
this
can...
This is the push. This is the push.
Okay. Yeah. All right. This is... what is that?
It's really good. It's a 16.
16 plus Excellent. 3, 19.
Okay, perfect. You send this cannon sailing down the stairs. Are you staying to watch?
Fuck it, no. Yeah. No, we're not.
Okay, and you hoist over the battlements, you know, and Glitch, you're getting on the back.
I'm getting on your back.
I'm assuming you're getting on the back, unless like if it's the kind of thing.
One
that,
at a time.
Does it require a check for us to go?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like both that at the same time.
You give me an athletics check.
Okay.
All
right. Yeah. Okay. So, the cannon's fucked up those guys.
It's gone. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Athletics.
It's gonna resolve this all in one fell swoop.
Oh, that is bad.
That's a three, mate.
That's a three plus five.
Eight.
Okay. All right. Teddy. We'll see how that goes. Glitch. You also have the opportunity to roll the athletics check, just to kind of an overall estimate of how this is
of how this is going to go down. Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And then we'll.
That's an 11. Minus two. That's a nine.
Wow, boys! Birds of a feather flock together. Well, I think this probably manifests that you, Teddy, like, are incredibly confident and stuff, and you kind of like you hitch Glitch back up on your back. You're like, you know,
I've got this.
Don't worry.
Got this. Yeah.
And you like you launch over the edge and you grab the rope, but these boy hands are not the muscular orc hands you're used to. And as you try to grab the rope, it just disappears through your fingers, and you get a grip on it, but you rope burn yourself all the way down.
Ah, yeah, I'm fine.
Glitch, you're trying to help by, like, I don't know what, grabbing the rope above. Or
I'm
like,
trying to grab the rope. I'm trying to wrap my legs around him, and like I'm
like, just trying to grab something.
But I'm trying to stay quiet.
And the two of you both crash to the floor, flat on your asses, and take a little bit of damage. From your burned hands, Teddy, you take 4 points of damage. Glitch, from landing on your butt, you take 2 points of damage.
Okay.
Thanks to your hollow LV bones.
That's fair.
But you're now on the floor. You're both a little winded, a little...
Immediately look up. Is there a big group of people looking at us?
No. So right. You are, I'm assuming, you're round to the east side of this
keep.
Yeah, exactly.
That. You can see, if you could see around the corner, you would see there are a number of guards barreling in. But the rather than seeing them going in, the next thing you see is... How many? Ooh. You see three guards like launched out of the archway leading into here, so to the south, and one of them just appears knocked out. Two of them are like, you know, like there's just been a huge force of something being chucked down the stairs into them, and you hear all kinds of commotion, and then you hear the sound of footsteps going up the tower and inside there. You guys are on the floor. At the moment, there's nobody. No, there's nobody looking at you.
Awesome.
You have survived the fall. And you slowly get back up to your feet just as chaos is raining around you.
All right, so this is the middle plane.
Oh, you're doing it on your own, are you?
I mean, I did. That's what I was asking. I said, do I just bring us in? Do I got to set us up? And you were like, oh yeah, no, there's the script. You guys do, and I was like, oh okay.
Mate, cool. I just wanted to talk to you. It's just nice to catch up with you, you know, away from the others.
It is.
Those other guys.
Apart from ones looking at me.
Yeah. but hey, Matt, I mean, well, this is the middle bit of the podcast. We're it having is. A chat. How you doing, man? You well?
Yeah, I'm doing good. We're just finishing a big recording. But we have also concluded a fun heist.
Yeah, as
you're
here.
Which you're yet
that.
To hear the end of. Exactly. Ooh. Yeah, exactly.
Exciting. I mean, I also wanted to get you in a room, man, because I wanted to...
get you to fucking explain yourself.
Who are you and where have you been? No, like we both, well, all four of us really, but I talk to you a lot about podcasts really, like. And it got me thinking recently. On the off weeks when we don't do an episode... Fantasy Freaky Friday hashtag available. I thought it'd be nice if we got people, because one of the things that got me both of us listening to the Adventure Zone is they had a big push on getting your friends, like trying to ask your friends to listen to anyone you thought might be interested.
Yeah.
And Liam actually was our right way into that, to the wonderful world of the McElroys. And I thought on Fridays, right, in the name of Freaky Friday, what if you got a friend who you know you like podcasts and you said, hey, buddy. Let's swap some pods.
And we swap pods.
And you swap pods for a day. Nice. And you make sure, right, I'm going to go listen to this podcast I've never listened to before. Yeah. And you get them to come
and
listen
you have
to
like,
us.
You know, you've got a day in the life of a different pod.
Yeah, exactly. what have you, is there any you've been really enjoying at the moment?
What do I listen to? Well, so yeah, as you said, like you and I talk about this quite a lot. I don't know. I can't really speak for, I know Paddy and Liam listen to podcasts, but I also know that you and I listen to them a lot.
Yeah.
And so I kind of consume a weird variety of stuff from I can listen to either the Football Ramble, which is like quite like a good weekly
Ramble
we're fans of but desperate to be friends with the Football Ramble boys, but I also listen to like oddly intense history podcasts, for example.
You do.
So Dan Carlin's Hardcore History is a really good one.
Who's
but
the
that
other,
is also the... eyes wide open or ears wide open for that, like anyone that wants to listen to it. Really interesting topics, really, really cool things, and really, really good way of getting into history if you've got no kind of like background in it. It is literally just a dude talking for 15 hours about a particular topic. So you got to be prepared for that shit.
He moves like a million miles a second, I swear, Dan Carlin. Like,
yeah, he'll cover four centuries in that 15 hours, but it's fucking four centuries.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. And we've both been enjoying Off Menu recently, the phenomenally popular Ed Gamble and James Acaster podcast.
So if I've got to make you a recommendation, then I'm going to make you a recommendation.
All right, yeah.
So something that I haven't recommended to you as of yet. What do I listen to? It's like an old school one. We've spoken about it before, but if I recommend it to you, it means you've actually got to go away and listen to
it. I will.
It's
the rules of Freaky Fancy Friday.
The rules of Freaky Fancy Friday.
Everyone listening at home.
Fancy Freaky Friday, not Freaky Fancy Friday.
Oh yeah, that's anyone the wrong
that,
hashtag.
Anyone that has Googled that hashtag on Instagram gets a different thing. we've spoken about it in the past, but I'm recommending to you The Champs, which is an old podcast now. It's finished and it's no longer being done. It's basically a weekly like interview with Neil Brennan, who is the co-creator for The Chappelle Show, and then Moshe Kasher, who's like Late Night, Jimmy Fallon, Comedy Central, like basically two US comedians. Both have quite a lot of connection to like the African American comedy scene and hip hop, despite the fact that they're both kind of nerdy white guys. and they invite on various like guests from the world of like hip hop, or because they're both massive like fans of that, or the NBA, or and they kind of like make a bit of a point of only interviewing, or the majority of their interviews are like either black or African American people, and so it's just quite an interesting little insight into a whole different perspective that they've got or that they've had from comedy and being involved in that world. But at the same time, they are also independently funny, and they interview independently funny people or really interesting people. So I'm just going through it now, actually. And I'm going to recommend to you the Bus Driver episode.
Oh, I do love Bus Driver.
Yeah, because they're all about an hour, 15 hour, 25 minutes. But Bus Driver's one, it's particularly interesting because he's an interesting dude, like, you know, West Coast hip hop artist, West Coast rapper. But I also know that his view on hip hop, similar to mine, is something that you would really appreciate listening to. That's my recommendation. In Matt. A very long-winded way, and I wonder if you can tell by how many words I used that I didn't prepare that before this.
It was, mate, do you know what? It was beautiful, and it's going to be far more eloquent than I think mine is, because I'm going to go listen to that because I know you told me about it before, and I'm a big fan. Mine, I don't know if you're gonna is necessarily one you'd listen to, but it's one I've been meaning to recommend. I'm going to keep what I say brief because I've only actually listened to a couple of episodes of this, shamefully, but it was one of the most useful things I listened to before starting to DM, and I thought you might get a bit of a dig out of that, particularly because one of the hosts, and I cannot remember which one or their name, is one of the creators or co-creators of loads of RPGs, like Dungeon World is the one I know that he plays, which is a kind of quite a gritty, simplified, but different system for fantasy-esque role-playing.
All right, cool.
And these two guys are just like, they are intimidatingly on everything. They talk about game design, they talk about ways of treating players and stuff, and I can't say like I've taken a lot of it on, but it's just really fascinating. It's called Being Everything Else. As in, what's the DM's job is being everything else apart from the
PCs. That is actually super useful because apart from that else, like we've all spoken about it and have spoken about up to this point about like, you know, any sort of bonus episodes or anything like that, like what we'd be interested in doing. And I've never ever DM'd or ever really had that position of authority over a room of that kind. So I would be interested to DM eventually. So I think get some tips up front would be good.
You can watch, you've walked in on me watching Matthew Colville videos late at night
as well. Yeah, we've both watched them late at night before, so that is exactly the kind of thing.
Always good tips. Well, there you go. Every Fancy Freaky Friday that we're not releasing an episode, or even are releasing an episode, why not try, I mean, ideally you'd recommend your friends this.
That's the point.
Ideally try and get your friends to listen to Idle Fancy, but maybe swap some pods with a pal.
Yeah.
Just like me and Zach did.
But swap our pod.
But always like,
our pod.
Find other people who like it, swap it with them. Just make it very incestuous and dedicated following.
But no, yeah, absolutely. Obviously, more power to podcasts in general because we think they're great, obviously, they are great. And we make one. But, but yeah, recommend this. Recommend anything you like listening to. Recommend us on Twitter. Speak to people. Like, plenty of podcasts have done this before in the past, but like, we don't have any money or make any money.
No.
So we can't pay for people to like have this in their ears through some sort of advertising mechanism. So
no. Yeah. And also thinking about it, what would the copy for that advert look like? It'd be like, hey, you like elves?
Hey, hey, you like idiots that do stuff together because they happen to be friends before?
Zach, what about the other ways that people can get in touch?
So
crazy
I do have. So obviously, yeah, we've rambled on for long enough. So I'll follow up that chat with this more concise, better written chat. So yeah, you can listen to us every Fancy Freaky Friday. That's hashtag Fancy Freaky Friday on iTunes or your nearest podcasting app. If you like what you hear, you can also review us on iTunes, and you definitely should review us because even if you don't like our podcast, if more people listen to us, that's not going to impact you very much. But if you review us on iTunes, it's more likely that people will listen to us.
So very
even true. If you hate us, like, it's going to be very, very little impact on your life or day to day if you leave a review.
That's a good pitch, man. That's a good pitch.
And it should be a 5-star review as well. I mean, well, even if that goes against the fact that you might hate us, but yeah, review us, give us 5 stars, and then get all your friends to do the same thing. Visit idlefantasy.com to subscribe or listen to archive episodes, our character sheets, much, much more. It's a really, really nice website that Liam pulled together because he's a wizard.
He is a wizard.
And there's cool stuff on there, and I'm sure the more we do this, the more cool stuff we'll uncover and put up there. You should follow us on Twitter. That's @idlefantasypod.
Cool.
to hear all the latest news and gossip. We also, you know, we don't have that much news or gossip, so we also use that account to tell jokes and engage in dumb shit on the internet, so yep. That's quite fun too. Find us on Instagram at idolfantasypod again to see special behind the scenes pictures. We've like videos of the recordings. We kind of like normally put a little teaser out there. So that's worth looking at. And then also I do a majority of that, so I sit opposite Liam, and the majority of things I photograph are Liam.
Basically, so, a Liam Stan account.
Yeah, exactly. And then so finally, if you have any messages for us, you can email us on idolfantasypodcast@gmail.com. And now, while this is important to note, while you might have given us a review despite the fact that you don't like us, if you don't like us, definitely don't fucking email, because I'm not interested in reading
it. So, I kind of want to read the criticism.
And then finally, yeah, we love you. Thank you for listening.
We do.
The next episode, I might need your help with us on that. What's 2 weeks from now, Loz?
Oh my god, hang on.
That's 2 weeks from the 3rd of May.
The 20th of May.
I should have been
17th of May.
We should have been able to do that math.
14 plus 3 is 17.
Wow. Yeah, so that's the next time you'll be there. The 14th of May.
Catch up with us then for episode
17th of May. 17th of May. Jesus, obviously.
17th of May 17th. For episode 12 of the Idol Fantasy Podcast. Yeah. Let's roll some bloody dice.
Let's roll the bloody dice.
So, Votic, you're with Hess now, who's still looking pretty badass as she's, you know, navigating the shadowy pool with you and Zebish, your former boss, and Fed Hoyle, who is complaining the entire way. He's like, fuck's sake, didn't even bring my fucking staff, and now the whole bloody place is on fire, alarm's going off, fuck it, I'll GSB, whatever. Kind of not talking to anyone in particular. And you make your way down this another row of cells with some occupied by different people. And
absolutely don't care at all, need to get out of here.
What about the rich world of law enforcement?
Don't care. Min-maxing, get out.
What about, if you look to one corner, there's a tiny pixie who winks at you and says, why don't you come to my magical land?
I flip my tiny bird and walk past.
Well, two people shout after you, one of us always lies, one of us always tells the truth.
Mate, you don't know, that is it. That's been in my notes for like years. Ever since we're doing a prison heist, it's like, yes, exactly. God. And as you go along, you see the goblin with the slime on the chain who doesn't even seem to be stopping their daily routine, even though with the fire and the smoke and the alarm bells going off, just carrying on, tossing a kind of tin can into the slime and carrying on. Can't even entice you with that.
Nope.
He's got a little quest marker above his head.
Absolutely. Shit's given none. Run.
And I think Hess is very proud of you at this point. And the four of you make your way along this corridor quickly and easily and into processing. And there you see the form of Botang Celeste slumped over the desk. And by the entrance to the holding cell, you see the familiar form of Aphorath the Bugbear also lying cold on the floor. And the cell is is open and completely empty of all the miscreants that were in it previously.
Did you just let everyone out, Hess?
Well, why not? What else was I going to do? I'm not going to, like, put them back in, am I?
Lock it behind you.
Yeah. Sorry, boys, you can't come with me on this one. No, I said go and make some chaos. I thought that would help.
Ah, well, there's plenty of that to go around. Fine. Come on, let's just get going.
You're the ones who went the chaotic route. I was just offering my assistance as instructed.
All right, so yeah.
All right. And I'm saying it, keep quiet out here, right? And hopefully no one will catch wind of us.
All right, what can I... So, looking down the steps, what can I see? Like,
you bust out into the little landing at the top of these steps and you're suddenly outside and the noise of alarms is still ringing in your ears. The smell of smoke is suddenly strong. You look across the courtyard because the first thing you see is the kitchens and the mess hall completely ablaze. You can see Cookie, the goblin chef, running out, her hat's on fire, she's gathering all her little
kobolds.
Pies?
Her little kobold helpers. Well, her eyes.
Pies.
She's gathering all her kobold helpers, saying, oh no, all the pies we were working on, they're ruined forever.
Oh no.
In the other corner, you rise, look to where you were hanging out with Jarnell and Crux earlier, and you can see this like sea of raggedy prisoners, some of them, you know, like incredibly thin and emaciated and all sorts, just like clobbering these poor guards who are kind of trying to stand to attention while Crux is kind of directing them from behind and sending them on, but they're just being overwhelmed by numbers at the moment. You also see this weird scene of about 10 guards all stood around the top of the guard tower, the keep, looking out and trying to see what's happening and kind of looking confused.
So I'm not going to do this. I've just had the bleakest idea, which is like, as I say, I'm not going to do this. But I was like, oh, maybe it'd be better if they think Vatic's dead, because like clearly like Vatic is to blame for this.
Dude, that is so bleak.
No. And what I was going to do was go back, shave Pendlefluff, kill him, put his hair into the gelatinous cube, and then like,
oh my god,
and then put like burn his body.
See, this is what I'm saying, Liam. I know that you've got it in you to get onto my level, but like for some reason you get squeamish about it. But I know if you committed to it, you could really cause some horrible shit to happen to other NPCs.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
How have I ended up the peacemaker out of a weird dickhead?
I'm not doing that. Just to be clear.
I feel like you gave the listeners a glimpse into a different podcast there, and I'm kind of glad.
My podcast.
Vile Fantasy.
Yay.
Yeah.
You look across and you see... Actually, no, give me perception. Just see if you can get work this out.
Perception.
I mean, you've been sat in the same room as them, so you probably know what this is.
Oh, that's not a great perception roll. That's four.
Four. You see two bundled forms lying beneath the tower.
I think I know.
Two total strangers who look like your mates.
Yeah. Two people flat on their ass. I know exactly.
Falling out of
is.
A tower.
Meanwhile, you two, nice. you're winded. What are you up to?
I want to get the lay of the land. Obviously, I want to just see if there's any immediate danger or threat or people that could pursue there's nothing. You remember you said there wasn't anyone down here, was there?
No, there's no one immediately down here. You see like the main occupation is just kind of northeast of you. There's this melee between the released prisoners and the guards. And the fire over towards the dormitory, and everything you can see from this level, there are people running in and out of the dormitory rather than the mess hall. Buckets of water, personal possessions, anything they can, but it's just panic and chaos at this point.
How's the main...
Like, we're just kind of like dressed like guards. I was just going to say, I mean, it sounds really bad, but obviously I know we have to go and see and find Liam and get out and all that, but like the character decision from Draka's point of view is like, he would just cut. He's got no reason to be there anymore. He's just going to... What's he going to do? He's not going to try and like go into the fucking crumbled down burning building. He might just go out
and run.
The way he came in is like...
He's on fire.
It's through the kitchen, right?
Yeah.
We can walk out the front gate. We're dressed
as
guards.
Is there anyone by... can we see anyone by the main... Like, gatesmen. Like, the people who would open or close a gate.
bear with me. Gatesmen. Gate guys.
Gareth Gates.
Gareth Gates. Is Gareth Gates there? Is he gatekeeper. Dressed as a dragon?
Gatekeeper.
Yeah, there you go.
Gatesman.
The gate master.
Doorboy. Doorboys. No, but the gate, you can't see anyone outside, but the gate, the way the gates are shaped is it's just, so you know, palisade wall all around the edge. This is you can see there's an opening where these two gates are. They are firmly closed.
Yeah.
But there are two little, not quite guard towers, but just little enclosures above them in two places. And there's also two brick structures either side of the gate. You can't see through brick. But that's what you can see. No guards necessarily around it at the moment.
And how else did we get in? When we first did this, like months ago, when Laurie told us about this fort, what did...
I think...
Where are your notes, boys?
I think we've got to get that gate open, and we've got to, like, even if it's like, oh yeah, we're trying to think of everyone here, you want to cut and run, and I'm looking for the nearest thing that we could do. I think there's a gate, and there are horses by it. We need to get that gate open and just hope to fuck Wattic makes it in time.
I agree. All right, yeah, like, okay. Glitch.
Let's have a little recce here.
I'm just gonna... Yeah.
You can hear each other now, by the way.
Yeah, we can definitely talk. So,
cool.
Character voices are back. You get the horses.
Good.
Maybe,
I'm good with horses.
Like, get an extra couple, because I guess...
I'm just gonna free all the fucking horses.
Free the horses.
I'm gonna get these stables open. We gotta get that gate
open. I'm gonna go investigate the gate.
Okay, well, they're the same direction, so let's just wing it over there together.
Sick. All right, and then... Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I work out a gate.
No,
do I get the gate puzzle done? Is that how this works?
You've solved the gate puzzle.
Was it just by pushing?
Yeah.
I was thinking, if there's old mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, back to you, Votic, and you see those two shapes make for the gate.
Right.
Now I don't feel so bad about you, deciding in character to cut and run. You were like, oh, you see your friends, and you were like, oh, God.
You're not going to like this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Out of spite.
No, it's not spite at all. It's just, going to slightly blow your cover. Glitch is running towards the horses, and Teddy's running towards the gate.
Yes.
Okay, I think I'm going to, there's chaos at this point. I think I'm just going to bellow out, Teddy! Staff! Have you seen a staff?
I've got it. We're now, imagine one of those shows we've had a split screen.
And oh, okay. Yeah, Wartik? That you? We're going for the gate. Staff. The kind of, with the magic thing.
Did somebody say staff? And I'm trying to jimmy open the side of the stable with this staff, wedged in the thing. Oh, is it the one with the bird on top? I've got a bird staff.
Is it the one with the bird on top?
You're damn fucking right it is. What's he doing?
Yeah, it's the one with the bird on top.
Okay, I've totally got the staff over here.
Yeah, and the gate's over here too. I can't see you or know what's happening. Maybe come over.
You can't see it.
Wartik, up here.
And poof, he's there.
Yeah, I think I run out of the circle at this point.
Okay, give me a strap stealth roll.
Okay. I mean, I am
without
pretty...
your 10 plus bonus, whatever Hess has given you.
Oh, so would they not just 15?
Would they not just make a beeline for us at this point?
Yes, but I think Vatic's gonna. I think Hess and the crew are probably a bit slower, and she has to maintain walking speed when they're doing the.
Okay, yeah.
That's
so
a problem. We are stealthing.
So you're just scurrying out.
Yeah.
But you do it. You're low to the ground. You're yeah. well coloured for a nighttime sortie. You're not seen by anyone immediately, and you head over and you meet your two bezies.
Oh, also, yeah, you're going to be so much better at this than I am in terms of the gate.
Staff, give me the staff.
Okay, I wedge it out of the door of the stables and throw it to you.
Okay.
And as you grab it, the two of you see this kind of from where there was nothing, where there just seemed to be a shimmer of shadows. It suddenly lifts slightly as they get closer to you, and you see the outlines of these three figures of a muscular, huge half-elf,
yeah.
Of a pot-bellied human man, and of a huge minotaur.
Oh, good, you brought friends. This is going to be excellent. We need to get out of here.
Yeah,
Can everyone ride a horse?
Shut up! A horse? We're just going to ride him out the front gate, are we?
That's exactly what we're Hess. Going to do.
Hess, what is wrong with that fucking idea? I have no idea how you could have an issue.
No, I'm just very stressed out by all of today's events. I've been in a prison.
Should we have this conversation now, Hess? Should we?
And I look up and I go, Gatesman! Very loud.
Wow. Why?
Got an idea.
From the top of the towers, you hear a... Yes!
Open the gates! And I cast Charm Person on the guy at the top of the thing.
Well, what's the range on Charm Person?
30 feet. And I'm at the bottom of the... If I'm here,
yeah,
I figure...
Yeah, we'll give you it. All right. What's the roll?
Nice work.
If this works.
Thanks, guys. you attempt a wisdom saving throw. And...
What's your DC, boy?
Spell save DC. 13.
Against Wiz. Or what was it? Charisma.
Yeah, wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom, yeah.
Okay. The guard says, And you cast a spell at it, and you're asking him to open the gates, and he just goes, "No, I don't think I will do that." No, he unfortunately resisted it past the resistance.
Zebish, why don't you open the gate?
He says, "Right, righto," and the three of you, that guard is saying, "Who are you anyway? Why are you trying to get out? You've got to help the fire over there, boys."
I just start shouting, "Fire, fire, help, fire, fire!"
I'm telling you, a fire!
I don't know what it is. We were told to...
We need to get out!
We need to get out!
Open
we were told
the
to
gate,
get out!
You dick!
At the same time, Zebish takes a running charge. I don't think he's a man of finesse, is
no.
he? He takes a running charge at this gate and just shoulder barges it and doesn't send it
flying open or anything because it's a big hench gate, and he goes, "Oh, I think they might be. It might be locked."
Yeah. I'm just gonna put it out there. That big fucking magic-looking staff thing that you were desperate to get your hands on, does it do shit like fucking helpful shit? Like now,
use could you block?
Yeah, use but this. Like, but,
use the acid.
No, I will do that in a minute. But like, I haven't got enough acid to burn a whole fucking gate down.
You do. I don't burn through a lock.
It's a yeah, but it's no, not gate locked. Like I'm assuming. Sorry, actually, we should have clarified that. I'm assuming this is like the kind of gate that isn't like a little key goes in. It's like a big fucking gate.
It's a big fucking. I mean, none of you have looked at it yet, but it is. As you debate the different ways of opening it, you take a look at it, and it's a big fat wooden gate as you'd get on the entrance to any kind of big yard like this. Yeah. Imagine like a car, you know, keep. And it's across it. You see this this huge bough of wood, like literally barred gate.
I could probably burn that. To be fair.
And there's but, like you can see there's a kind of mechanism.
There's the bricks mechanisms at the side that we need to look at.
No, they're not mechanisms, but there's like there's a way you can basically it's split in the middle and you can lift them, but you just have to actually heave these things up to open the gate.
All right, cool. Do that, or this fucking wizard could just do us a solid.
Fed, have you given him a start?
Yeah. Sorry, I probably should have.
Fed is kind of cradling it, slice, says, "Thank fucking Christ," and giving it a little kiss and stroking the head of the eagle on it. Says, "Now then, my love, what are we gonna do?" And he's just lost.
Hey, creepy wizard, stop fucking kissing the stick,
mate. It's my staff. I'll do what I fucking want. Thank you. Are you gonna get us out of here or what? He looks up.
Fucking blast the gate open!
I'm not. What do you think I am? I'm not some kind of like pyromaniac.
A chromatic orb of fire flies at the fire of the gate as I cast chromatic orb.
All right, sweet. I don't. Roll to hit the gate.
I'm just trying to bust open that bar.
Bar thing, yeah. If this doesn't work, I'm going to wing some acid at it anyway.
I don't know what else to do at this point. Cool. What's that? 19.
19
plus
5.
24
to
hit.
24,
that hits. To hit the stationary gate. That's like twice the size of all of us.
It's the 3d8 fire damage. That's what I'm doing. That is 6 total.
God damn it.
You burn a little borehole. Like, clean through the gate, but it's like about the size of a 10p piece. But straight up. Straight through.
I guess I make my way to a fucking... I shout at... Actually, I wouldn't know. Okay. A big cow.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not being very... You've got to give me
big cow. Big cow. Do you want to lift one and I'll lift the other?
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, could do it now?
Yeah, okay.
Hess, can you help as well?
And also, actually, fuck it. I'm all of you with free hands fucking help.
Okay.
I'm opening the stables, mate.
What? I just love that you threw a tiny little chromatic orb.
Nothing's happening by the gate.
I love that nothing happened. You were like... Horses. Yeah. Okay. All right, cool, yeah.
I think once we get the gate open, we need to be able to do something other than run.
I was just going to wing it. Run. Yeah, get the horses out if we can. Does any of us have...
I've got Charm Person. I could use it on a horse.
Now,
crucially,
I hate to be a stickler. Are horses people?
Do any of us have animal handling?
We haven't seen the horses yet.
They're not centaurs.
I just think like...
We all have animal handling, but it's like... I've got no bonus to it.
Yeah, neither do I.
All right, well, Glitch, we'll go with you first. You shoulder barge your way into the stables through the kind of, you know, the human entrance rather than the stable entrance, and you head in, you see a dark room, you see, you know, like a stables. You see rows and rows of pens with presumably horses in them, some kind of beasts. You see a load of equipment up on one wall, and you see a tall kind of, not quite a hayloft, but there's a level above with kind of stuff stored up there.
I don't believe we have time for saddles, boys, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to let you all out now, and you're going to help us, and please let this work. And I just start opening pens of horses very gently.
Okay.
Yeah,
and calmly.
Nice, I like that. I was really worried you were going to go like, I want to know what's in the hay.
I can't sleep.
Ah, that's better. You unhitch all of the doors to the stables. The horses will shy a bit away from you because you're quite a creepy customer, but they kind of
charismatic.
They kind of pour through. The only thing that's left keeping them in here is the main gate, the main double doors.
To the stables.
Yeah.
And I get them on their reins. I don't know much about horses. Glitch does. Don't worry about it.
Reins and rope.
Yeah, reins and I open this door.
do I? As you get over there, you see it's another, not much less bigger than the main gate, but it's another kind of barred thing. You've just got to lift up the thing.
Yeah.
As you grasp it, can you give me a quick perception check?
Oh. Yes, I can. Cox, that was a 3 originally. That changed to a 16.
I don't think that's going to do it.
Yeah, it's a 3.
As you... So you leave the horse you've been leading over and leave them milling around, and the kind of the hubbub, the alarms, the noise of these horses kind of moving and baying behind you, you don't hear as a kind of a chainmailed pace comes behind you, and a voice just over your shoulder says, "Guardsman, what are you doing here?"
"Everything's on fire outside and I need to get the horses to safety."
"Guardsman, I repeat, I am your commanding officer. What are you doing here?"
"All right, I salute." I say, "The stable's about to catch fire. I thought I'd get the horses out."
"Guardsman, turn around to look at me when you address your superior captain."
"I will, Mr. Scotsman."
And
I turn very gently with a big smile on my face.
You see a grimace from a dwarven woman standing in front of you. She's wearing the slightly more ornate chainmail that Vatic might have seen earlier on people like Crux and Jarnell. And you see this dwarven woman with two hammers, one of them kind of being hefted in her hand at the moment, and the scowl like pissed thunder on her face. Mm. And she says again, "I ask it again. Guardsman, what are you doing? Where is this?"
Is she thick
in the
as
protocols
fuck?
For anything that we do? Who are you, in fact?
And I take a long drag on my vape and I go, "I'm Glitch." And then I cast Fog Cloud.
Okay, how does Fog Cloud work?
I do a big old vape. And this is the last of my spells, by the way, so I hope it works. I just do it. You create a 20-foot radius sphere of fog around you or on a point in rage, and everything becomes heavily obscured.
And just get out, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, bust up the door, and then guys are ready.
Yeah, I fucking hope we are ready.
Okay. And you, as you let, you rip the biggest fucking...
Oh, it's fat cotton.
Fat cotton.
"I'm Glitch, motherfucker," and the room just goes... Boom. With like blueberry smoke.
You feel a...
Yeah, it starts to smell super like vanilla-y. Yeah.
What's your AC?
Huh?
What's your AC?
A 12.
You hear the unmistakable sound of a hammer whistling past your head and dunk embedding in the gate behind you. You've got an opportunity to do what you want. The horses are starting to panic and whinny. And
I've just got to get the door open.
You heft open the thing with all your elfy strength.
Yeah.
And you throw the doors open and the horses run out.
And all this smoke behind them.
Smoke, exactly. It's beautiful. But as the doors open, the smoke starts billowing up and away. What are you going to do?
Run?
I'm just running for the gate with all the horses, I guess.
Okay, nice. You run there. Meanwhile, you guys are
and
there.
And I shout, "Horses!"
I mean, we open the gate.
Yeah, I think we're just team effort and we're just trying to push together.
How many of you are there? They're fine.
There's a cow. I'm assuming if the cow's on one and then I'm on the other one.
Yeah.
So like me and...
And me?
Yeah, so I'm saying you two, Hess and a cow.
Yeah, so like me and a... Me.
Yeah.
If the cow's massively strong, right?
Both, can you... Both roll with advantage of strength check.
All right, cool.
All right.
What's my strength? Okay. That's an 8 plus 3, that's just 11. And then
Fed is not helping.
Those
4.
Pointers. That was a 16 for me.
I got 11.
11 and a 16. Incredibly, Vatic and Hess, you maybe given your, you give it the little jimmy up first, and then Hess.
I guess I've probably got bulging leverage on my advantage because I'm basically having to do a press up rather than like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you send this thing soaring up and it slots into this little cavity at the side of the gate. Meanwhile, Teddy, you and Zebish, mismatched or whatever, are struggling with this thing. It's not that you're failing at it, but it's like halfway up As you hear the sound of hooves and the stench of wicked mango vape,
yeah.
as Glitch kind of strides through.
And I'm trying to flip. You remember, like in Lord of the Rings, when he like flips up onto the horse? I'm trying to do that each of the horses that goes past me.
They're missing them. And the horses all come to a stop and kind of mill around in front of where this gate is, which hasn't. So you'll get both of them open to open it. And the next thing you know is happening. You hear, I said, listen to me! And this angry dwarf comes barreling out of the stables. The next thing you know, Glitch, is the feeling of being tackled roughly from behind. I'm imagining an 18 beats your AC
mm-hmm.
as a furious dwarven woman wrenches you to the floor.
Mm.
And you are grappled by her at the moment. And she said, what the fuck are you doing? Are you even a guardsman?
I go... No, I'm actually not a guardsman. It's far too gauche. But I'm trying to get my hand onto her face.
Uh huh.
And then I cast chill touch. I try and get my hand, trying to get it right into her face as I assume she's on top of me, and then I'm gonna charge my hand full of ice.
I love it. It seems quite dark to me, but go ahead.
that's what I'm gonna do. Ranged spell attack. The target in range, but within 120 feet.
Just about.
Yeah. six plus my spell attack bonus, which is fine. An 11?
11 will do it. Technically, her armor would get in the way, but I think if you've got your hand on her face, there's very little. I should probably give you advantage on that, really, but we'll just say 11 hits. And as she's kind of admonishing you, and she's got you on the, kind of... straddling you on the ground.
Yeah.
And she... Ah! Shit! And she kind of rolls backwards. And as the other four of you are wrangling with the gate, you are quickly aware that even among these horses, there is a turn... there's a turn in the tide of the kind of the battle between the inmates going on over here, and suddenly there are guardsmen bearing down on you, coming at you towards the gate, and you hear...
They're by the gate. Round them up. Let's get them, boys.
Coming from far away.
Just finish getting the gate open.
I think now give me both of you, Zach and Liam, give me a strength check to get this gate open.
All right.
With advantage.
Yeah. So that's an 18 for me.
There we go. 10.
Fucking hell. Stuff that I'm bad at, I've rolled like well above like 19 every time. No. Like, yeah, 10.
Doesn't matter though. I needed one good result from all four of those rocks. And somehow Votik is the powerhouse here. He does his little jumping jack maneuver again, springs this thing open, and this big wooden pillar cracks up into the got a bit pop it into the launches up into the alcove at the side of the gate and clicks into place, and the rest of you wrench the doors open and they pull to.
Nice.
And you're looking out onto the streets of Veld, but you are staring down the barrels. You are staring into a unit of Veldguard archers with knocked arrows all trained at your heads.
Oh, in hell.
What the fuck?
Okay.
And as you guys take this information in, you also hear from behind you the unmistakable brogue of Captain Jarnell saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, we appear to have them." And a troop of guards with their shields all lined up slowly encircle you guys and the horses that are there. And you guys are trapped between two banks of people.
Can I get back to these guys?
Yes, you're all in one spot. You've sent this dwarven woman kind of careening back, and she joins the lines and is kind of still trying to rub stuff out of her eyes, but you completely...
I grab Fed's staff.
What? I mean, more like whether you grab it or not, Fed's a fucking dick. Like, he's just done nothing.
No, I just think he's taking a sweet time. I make sure I've got a hand on his staff.
Fed... as you take a grip of his staff,
I give him the look that's like, you know what I'm doing. I'm not trying to take it.
You take a grip of his staff, and Fed looks up at you and he says, "Yeah, right. I think that could work. Right." And he says, he goes over to you, and he says, "Hold my hand, boy."
I grab onto Liam's hand.
And Hess quickly joins in as well.
Sick.
And Zebish grabs hands. And Fed looks up at you and Glitch and says, "This is going to fucking suck. All right? This is going to be shit."
Oh, it's already been shit, my friend.
And he closes his eyes. Glitch, you see this, and just starts muttering under his breath. And as you do, you feel this staff like oscillate and the energies come off it go nuts. And the rest of you see the eyes in the eagle's head where they were glinting before. It's like they open and this blue light streams out of them. And there's something going on. You're just, as you're kind of concentrating on this, you hear Jarnell say, "What in tarnation?" And other guards, and you hear murmuring, and you hear someone behind this bank of archers say, "Ready? Draw!" You feel this energy rise up the floor, and it ruffles your robes, or your guardsmen's uniforms, rather. Fed then opens his eyes, and they're completely blanked over. The swirl of energy slowly collects into a visible stream of blue energy that sends a kind of a spiderweb lattice on the floor that ends in a neat circle around the six of you. And the noises from the outside world seem to fade out and disappear. The alarms disappear. The smell of smoke disappears until all you can really sense is this column of blue light that's gradually rising around you and swirling, and soon you can't see anything. And the sound of the wind whipping up around your ears is unbearable. And before you know it, there's this sudden like lurch of energy, or your stomach's kind of completely, you know, it's like you've been thrown aside in airplane turbulence, and you're thrown to the floor, all holding hands. And if we suddenly see you guys from the perspective of Jarnell and his crew, they see this blue column of light also whip up and surround the six of you. And then there's an almighty flash of light, and they all cover their eyes to try and avoid being blinded. And they look, when the dust settles and they all look again, there's nothing left of you. And they're looking straight through to the archers on the other side, who drop their bows. And you're out of there.
Raz.
Bang in.
Out of there to where?
Who knows, Liam? We'll find out next time on Idle Fantasy!
Actually, no.
I would save a lot of time. You can do it all a cappella.
Yeah, we do a cappella. I've not really got anything else to say other than that was a rad end to that little saga. Annoying Fed waited until we were about to die to do that. But I want it to be known that I was giving Jarnell the finger the whole time.
the entirety of the last four episodes.
The entirety of like that whole period of time where we were just kind of standing there and this magic was building up and like just dead in the eye giving him the finger, because
that's what he deserves.
Yeah, he deserves it.
I like to think that maybe that's the last
Jarnell.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the captain, isn't he? He's the one in charge.
We didn't meet him, did we?
No.
I think you're just giving the finger to anyone.
I mean, like, that we have to establish a certain level of, like...
Basic competence.
We have to just kind of... Like, unless I've been told something, I obviously know that. There are certain things that I don't need to have been told, like who the fucking guy in charge is.
Like the guy who's like, shouting all the
all
orders.
All the orders. Like, I don't know, I inferred that, Paddy.
I'll give you guys, I'll tell you what, you've got three guesses as to where you are, and if you guess right, podcast is over.
Okay. Yeah, play.
Podcast is over though.
Yeah! I ended the podcast.
So is that like a big old blink then? Is that what that was? Cool, that is very cool.
Are we actually in the astral plane?
Maybe.
No, we're in Grimsby.
he was an astral man.
He's taken you into our world.
If we're in the
awakened Grimsby.
If we're in the astral plane, we can do what we did last time, innit? With what's her face?
Vandra,
where we just kind of like brutally set up killing her.
That was the ethereal plane.
Actually,
God, fucking nerds.
Oh.